Ready to boost your learning and earning potential? Shasta College can help. Full-time students may qualify for 2 years of free tuition to jumpstart a high-demand career. Pressed for time? We get it. That's why we offer 8-week compressed, cohort-based, and online or hybrid classes designed for busy adults. Spring classes start January 21st, so now's the perfect time to plan your next step. For more information, contact ShastaCollege.edu.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This is Jason in the House.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I'm Jason Chaffetz, and I think you're going to enjoy it today. We always appreciate it when you join us. There's a lot happening in the news. We got some stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. And then we have Congresswoman from Florida, Congresswoman Luna. She will be joining us. She's pretty outspoken. She's usually out there. And I love that she's just willing to just jump right in and say it like it is and give us her perspective. And so we'll learn a little bit more about Congresswoman Luna and kind of her perspective on life and what she's thinking about and what works for her and what doesn't work for her. And just really going to enjoy that discussion here. So looking forward to that. But I do want to talk about the news, because obviously there's been so much about what happened in Minneapolis. But you know what? This has been going on for some time now. It's sad. You know, a person lost their life, and nobody wants to see that ever. And it was avoidable. But you know what? In this country, we're special. We're unique. We're different. You can, you have a First Amendment right. You can petition your government. You can protest peacefully. That's what the Constitution says, peacefully. What you don't have a right to do is impede law enforcement. You don't have a right to get in their way and stop police activity. If you have a complaint, if you have something that you believe should be brought to the courts, then do that. It doesn't mean that you can stand in front of a vehicle, or if you're in your vehicle, use that as a weaponized tool. You cannot spit on and degrade and get after these law enforcement officers by pushing and shoving and blocking down streets when they are simply trying to enforce the law. And I think what's going on in this country right now is there is a fight of good and evil, and there are people who do not want safety and success and prosperity to happen and freedom to happen in the United States. And I think the adage of follow the money is probably more true now than ever. Undoubtedly, there are some people who want to protect the criminal element in the United States of America. And those people are going to have to answer. I call them Democrats. Democrats have decided to take an anti-law enforcement, defund the police, get out of our town mentality. I can't imagine that that's where the bulk, the majority, where people in the United States are. I just, there's no way that that's where people are in this country. And if they are, they can go to the ballot box and vote on that, as long as we have a free and fair and accurate election. That's a whole nother topic. But it is fundamentally wrong for these people to impede law enforcement. It puts people in danger. And as I saw, as I call him, Mayor Swears a Lot from Minneapolis, who instantly came to a conclusion about this situation in Minneapolis, and then later said that, oh, maybe we should step back and, you know, let's look at this a little bit more clearly. He's so fundamentally wrong. And you see this playing out in Portland, and these all happen to be Democratic cities and Democrat-run states. The whole concept and idea of a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state, it's just so totally foreign to me. Because what you're saying is, hey, criminal element, you can participate and live here in freedom. If we arrest you, we're just going to let you back out on the street. You commit a crime, don't worry about it. You won't be deported. If you commit a crime, don't worry, we probably won't even prosecute it. Now, they prosecute some crimes, I would guess, but the surge and the change that has happened in this country, I think, is where we're at. It's very polarizing, and it's very destructive. And it's almost as if they want to secede from the union. They don't want the federal government participation. Of course, they want the federal dollars. They want the money to flow to the NGOs, the non-government organizations. They want the money to flow to their, you know, in welfare benefits and everything else. But I think the government as a whole can just say, no, we're not going to pay for it and allow these criminal elements to thrive. And I feel for the average person who's just there in, say, Minneapolis or Portland or wherever it might be, who just wants to be able to walk down the street at night, walk their dog at 8 o'clock at night. No matter what time of year, you should be able to do that with safety and security and not be having to look over your shoulder or worried. And yet these cities, these counties, these states that offer sanctuary are exacerbating the situation. So if they think they're going to intimidate President Trump, they're going to intimidate the Trump administration, they are sorely wrong. I mean, they are going to find out in a very hard way. Again, I feel that this all can be avoided. You can say, okay, I don't want ICE. I want to, you know, make whatever absurd case you want, but you're going to have to make that case to the majority, not just these vocal minority. And somehow, some way, Democrats over, you know, my political life have really morphed. This used not to be a political issue. We were united in supporting law enforcement and our troops and those types of things. Not anymore. Now the Democrats are out there pleading with people to leave. Don't have law enforcement. Don't enforce the law. Don't take into account somebody who's committed rape or murder or whatever it is, a DUI. Just get out of the way. That is so foreign to me and so wrong. All right, before we get to the stupid, let me just add one more thing, because I got to tell you, I really cannot say enough about the professionalism of what happened in our taking out the illegitimate leader of Venezuela. This is a narco drug pin king, you know, somebody who is fine destroying the lives of the American people. And President Trump had given him multiple opportunities to step down and foreshadowed that he would take him out if need be. And we all saw it, right? We have seen the United States military, the Department of War, led by President Trump, executed by the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. And I think about this. Now, look, I'm quite friendly with Pete Hegseth. He has done a spectacular job. Recruiting's up. People are proud. We've gotten rid of all these DEI programs and all these silliness. And we got back to being this, having this warrior ethos. And so you look at the strike on Iran, then you look at what we did in Venezuela. Not a single life was lost on the American side. And the execution was superb. And you think about the contrast of that versus what happened in the withdrawal from Afghanistan, which should have been as smooth as silk. But you have a commander-in-chief who cares about it. You have a secretary of war who's doing an exceptional job. And you think about how much hard time everybody gave Pete Hegseth and what he was doing and how he was doing it and making fun of him and all the negativity was thrown his way. Well, we all should be proud of our United States military, because you know what? They're made of people, Democrats and Republicans. They come from all stripes, all states. A lot of people that are very young. I remember going out on a ship once in the Arabian Sea, you know, off the coast of Iran, you know, about 15 miles off the coast of Iran. And I'm out there on the ship and, you know, there's about 200 people on this ship. There's maybe, five people older than 35 years old. I mean, it's mostly 20s and early 30 year olds running the ship. And it's just like unbelievable how good and what their precision is. We pay a lot as an American people to have these types of things happen and to have the biggest, baddest military on the face of the planet. But when you need it, you need it. And you don't want to be second. And you want to have such overwhelming force in order to get the job done. And I think that's exactly what we have done with our United States military. And the other thing I want to give a shout out to that I think is very important is the intelligence community. Not enough credit is going out to John Ratcliffe, the CIA, those covert operators who do things in the silence of the night, who are, whether it be cyber, maybe it's from the Space Force, maybe it's signals intelligence, maybe it's human intelligence, which is really risky stuff. There's all sorts of input data points coming. But we knew precisely where to go, what to do, when to do it, where, in this case, Maduro was going to be. That has to be such a critical component. In order for a president of the United States to make an informed decision, he has to have the very best intelligence. And that happens by these silent warriors who never get enough credit. We'll never know their names. Oftentimes, their family members, their spouses, will not know the role that they played in the execution of that raid and so many other things that we never even see about in the news. And a tip of the hat, I think, should go to John Ratcliffe and the CIA and all of those other departments and agencies, the NSA, etc., that we don't hear from because they are silent warriors, but they play such a critical role so that the Pete Hegsets of the world can use the kinetic force that's necessary to do the actual extraction. And it has to have the best intelligence in the world. So that costs a lot of money for the United States taxpayers. But boy, has it been paying off in big, big way moving forward. So with that, let's bring on the stupid. Because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. No exceptions this week. All right. Story number one. This one is really an important story. It was on 6 News on your side there in Knoxville, Tennessee. And the headline is this. A monkey was caught after damaging a musical instrument store. Ooh, that must have been expensive. You got a monkey running around smashing up guitars and other music type of things? My guess is that there was a monkey that was on the loose there. It was around 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and they received a call that a monkey had entered this facility and that the monkey damaged the business and some instruments. This is a nice video of this monkey baring its teeth. You know, we ask a lot of our police officers, can you imagine that call? Sunday morning, it's 8 o'clock. Hey, we got a monkey on the loose in a music store. No end to the number of things that our law enforcement has to deal with. And somebody was raising that monkey. Somebody was dealing with that monkey. Somebody accidentally or maybe purposely let that monkey go. I don't know. All right, story number two. Parents, they're going broke. Because you know what? I remember growing up, man, we'd play soccer. Then what we would have to do is, or not have to do, but wanted to do is go to McDonald's. We always went to McDonald's and get a little toy and a Happy Meal and that kind of stuff. You know, kids are yelling for nuggets or a cheeseburger. I like the Big Mac. I always did. But now life has changed. These kids are growing up. Now their tastes have changed, too. They're all about the sushi. So the Wall Street Journal is parenting food diet kids and sushi shows up on this stupid list because these kids are yelling and screaming for sushi. I want sushi. You know how expensive sushi is? I'm not talking the grocery store sushi. I'm talking like decent sushi. That's a little bit more than a cheeseburger and some nuggets at Chick-fil-A, that's for sure. Anyway, parents are having to deal with that. And hey, if you're going broke because you're buying kids sushi all the time, you're going to have to deal with it. All right, then we go to this other one. According to the United Press International, trapped deer removed from Wisconsin basement after 2 days. 2 days! Now, I see this every once in a while, right? People have a walkout basement. Maybe they have a window well. The deer gets in it. But somehow this deer broke into a Wisconsin home while the owners were away. Uh-oh. And it spent 2 days trapped inside this house. Now, I can only imagine, after 2 days of a panicked deer in the house, what it smells like, what it looks like, and the type of damage that was done there. But they finally called 911 and reported a deer had apparently crashed through the window of a neighbor's home, and it appeared to be trapped in the basement. And again, the police had to get a hold of somebody, you know, a local company to help remove the deer, which had to be trapped and netted and then brought out. I hope the deer's okay, but I don't know what you do if you're a homeowner. You just, you know, you get to go away and all of a sudden you come back and there's a deer? Yikes. Well, that's the stupid.
More Jason in the House next.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime.
Our entry-level data plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1994. Senator Ted Kennedy.
Jackie would have preferred to be just herself, but the world insisted that she be a legend, too.
Police in Anaheim say they are following a white Ford Bronco, and that is O.J. Simpson with a gun to his head.
You guys have got to be strong, because you are, which I just know, I just feel in my heart that you're okay, but you got to take care of each other.
Susan Smith has been arrested and will be charged with two counts of murder in connection with the deaths of her children.
It's not a Republican victory. It's not a Democratic victory. It is the American people making a set of choices.
If you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green, he's back. Please.
Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record.
News as it happened then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox on Games, your insider's cheat code to gaming.
Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade is breaking away from PlayStation starting on January 22nd, landing on the Xbox Series consoles and Nintendo Switch 2. It debunks the long-running rumor that the remake series would stay exclusive to Sony. The 2020 game praised for its retelling of the story of Cloud Strife.
This is a one-time gig. When it's done, we're done.
And his freedom-fighting friends, Avalanche.
He's my bodyguard and a soldier. Pretty cool, huh?
For the right price.
Against the mega corporation Shinra, and also by changing the ending that many gamers knew from the first 1997 version of the game. For survival game, Karn is proving to be a hit after a free trial. The Game Bakers made game is being noted for its climbing over treacherous terrain in the midst of a storm and its resource-based survival. The simulation allows you to climb anywhere on Mount Tenzin and on release, Mount Kami. Adapt your posture, effort, and balance, and if you're not careful, you will fall. Eamon Dignam, Fox News.
I'm Ash.
Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with host Johnny Knoxville, who I joined on set in Vancouver for Fox's reboot series, Fear Factor: House of Fear. I want to start with you hosting this show because it's so perfect.
It does work because, you know, my previous day job.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came into this, I thought maybe I'm going to be agitating the contestants more to rile them up, but I found myself trying to support them more.
The Face Your Fears reboot has 14 contestants competing for $200,000 and living in one house.
A lot of people are carrying things over that happened in the house into the challenges.
What do you tell the contestants? How do you coach them in terms of overcoming their fears? How do you help them?
It's like when I started coaching my son's baseball team when they're little. They didn't even know how to throw. And at that point, I did not know how to tell them how to throw because it's just something I did. It wasn't great advice. I'm like, just do it.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Time now to bring on Representative Luna. She's there in just outside Tampa in her congressional district. She makes a lot of waves. So let's bring on Congresswoman Luna. Thanks so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Thank you for having me back, Jason. Very happy to be here.
No, really do appreciate it. So, you made quite a name for yourself after you've, gotten into Congress. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, Jim Jordan, actually, when I was first running for office, he said, you know, Anna, if you just say what you're going to do on the campaign trail and you actually do it, he's like, this job could be one of the most easy jobs in the world. Ultimately, you know, me just holding to my conviction and really following through on my promises is really why I've kind of, I think, stirred the pot, if you will.
Well, that's the whole idea. I mean, right? It's the, and Jim Jordan, you're right. He has made this case when I served with him. He has been making this case from the very beginning. It's why he's been so successful. Why don't we just do what we said we were going to do? Because my guess is if that's how we got elected, that's why we will be able to thrive.
100%. You know, when I first got into office, there was all this stuff coming out about, you know, Russia collusion, what they found out, and that whole thing was basically cooked up and fraudulent. And so at the time, you know, and I'm sure you can explain to your listeners, but when you first get elected, they don't exactly teach you how to write up the legislation or anything. So I actually read through the rule manual twice, and I figured out I could do this thing called censuring. And I censured Adam Schiff, but it came with a lot of opposition, sometimes from our own party. They told me that what I was trying to do was unconstitutional, and I knew that that was false. And so I was able to successfully censure him. And so that's why Adam Schiff will go down in history alongside some not so good people.
You know, when I first started to run, this is 2008, I came in with Barack Obama. I went to the 5 orientation meetings that they had. And I got really frustrated near the end. I'm like, wait a sec. Okay. Welcome to Congress. We're glad you're here. But they did nothing to teach you about the rules. They did nothing to teach you about, about the order of things. They did nothing to teach me about parliamentary procedure. That's what I really wanted. You know, I shared that sort of exasperation with somebody, and they said, Jason, they don't want you to know the rules. They want you to just, that's the trick of leadership. They just don't want you to know, because then you'll actually do some things. And that seems like it's your experience too.
Yeah, they don't teach you and they don't want you to know. I think it's actually probably an opportunity for them to kind of introduce you to mainstream Washington. And, you know, I'm not saying that they're all bad. There's some great people, right? But ultimately, if you're actually representing, that means sometimes you might have to, you know, disagree with your party, or you might have to say and take a strong position and say, look, this legislation, if it's not, you know, how it should be, if there's violations of the Constitution or whatever is in it, I'm going to have to vote down this legislation and not even let it come to the floor. And so the actually first two things and only two things they told me once I was elected was don't vote against your party and don't vote down a rule. Those are the only two rules, and your word is your word. And if you ever do those two things, you know, it's going to be harder to get legislation passed for you. And so within, you know, the first couple of weeks of being in office, I had done both. As you know, I was one of the 20 that was a part of those speaker negotiations with then Speaker Kevin McCarthy. And so ultimately, I always tell people that I'm not trying to make this a long-term career. I'm not trying to do this for 30 plus years or 20 plus years. But while I am here, I'm going to make sure that my time here counts, because you know this, Jason, it's time away from your family. It's travel. It's a big sacrifice, but ultimately I'm following through all my promises to my constituents. I'm balancing it pretty well. We have some great constituent services. And then ultimately at the end of the day too, I'm definitely able to deliver on, you know, being more aggressive in regards to investigation, et cetera.
Well, I think that's what their founders envisioned. You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Congresswoman Luna right after this.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Reading Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Reading Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Reading Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Rocky Patel Emerald. Coming in at number 6 on Cigar Aficionado's Top 25 with a 95 rating, this box-pressed cigar offers great combustibility, a smooth draw, and delicate flavors of ground coffee, hickory, leather, and spice. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Twin River Resort and Casino is excited to announce the return of Slap War. Brought to you by Heartbot Productions. This exhilarating showdown will have two fierce opponents going head-to-head in an unforgettable battle of slaps. Who will emerge as the last one standing? Event is January 31st. Show begins at 7:30 p.m. For complete details or to purchase tickets, visit TwinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. For a moment at Twin River Resort and Casino.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here, What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Reading Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Reading Bike Park. We just want to thank the Reading Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
In the house. You know, my response back to rules is, why do we need special rules? Like, if we talk about regular order, we talk about, you know, the ability to debate, maybe have some amendments, that sort of thing. Why do we need, quote, you know, special rules or different rules for each bill? Like, I don't understand that. Let's just have some vibrant debate if it goes on a bit longer, if we have to vote on some. I think, personally, the way I looked at it was, we don't vote enough, and it's okay if something fails. Like, I think there's too much expectation, and I'd love to get your take on this, too much expectation that a speaker is going to pass every bill. Like, that should not be the expectation. I think that the speaker's role is to facilitate things, but if a bill or an amendment or a rule fails, then go back to the drawing board. You can bring it up again. There's nothing that says you can only bring it up once.
That's actually, to your point, I actually had that happen with my first censure of Adam Schiff. The first one wasn't successful. I called it back a week later and it was successful. And I do agree that there's this notion and the idea and the speaker and the leadership, how they basically say, you know, they want things to be put forward right then and there. They don't want to, you know, deal with the media or the press. And the thing is, what people have to understand is when there's that much consolidated power, whether it's in the rules committee that determines the very legislation that comes to the floor, right? Or within the speakership, ultimately that actually prohibits and takes away your power as a representative to advocate for your constituency. But also, you are correct. When they wrote the Constitution and when they designed Congress and the Senate, they actually never anticipated for there to be that consolidation of power to where it had to go to a certain committee to come to the floor. It just wasn't done that way. And something that I've actually become very familiar with is something called a discharge petition, which is kind of an old world way of legislating where you actually manually collect signatures from members of Congress to bypass that entire process and get good legislation to the floor. Most notably right now, I've been doing it with the effort to ban insider trading. And we're close to, I think it's like 80 something signatures. We're going to pass, I think, the 100 mark threshold. However, had I not done this, I would never have, I think, started the national conversation on it. And I'd actually just received word the day before yesterday that this week at the beginning of next week through the House Administration Committee, they're going to be putting a consensus bill through committee to vote. And they actually want to bring the vote to ban insider trading to the floor of the House of Representatives. That would have never happened if myself and, you know, those almost 100 other members of Congress didn't put their name to that discharge petition to get it done. Because as you know, Jason, I don't think anyone, Democrat or Republican, really thought that this would ever come up for a vote. And you know that the insider trading is happening on both sides. And so this is one of those popular issues that unless we really forced and knew the rules and knew the parliamentary procedure to actually bring this legislation to the forefront of the national discussion, it probably would have never changed. And this is a position and a piece of legislation that's supported by over 86% of Americans, regardless of party affiliation. And so I think it's going to be wildly popular.
Yeah, I just don't understand this. Look, we have some fabulously wealthy people. Hey, that's fine. I, you know, none of my business. I don't really care how they got their wealth. But once you take on this job in Congress, you're going to have to put that in a blind trust or just, you know, sell it and then put it into a mutual fund. But the idea that members of Congress are actively trading individual stocks, that is that's a bridge too far, because there is a lot of information. You do glean a lot in terms of what's going to happen, what's going to be a big issue, what's not going to be a big issue, and it should be prohibited. I agree with you. I think that's a 80-90% issue in the minds of the American people.
Yeah, the 10% issue is likely from the 10% within the House of Representatives that's doing it, right? Well, like,
that's right.
Your point exactly, you know, you have some members that have come in. We make $175 a year. You have to do public disclosures. Technically, insider trading is already illegal, but members of Congress are still doing it, which is why we've had to put forward the legislation. But again, when you talk about some of these percentages that you're seeing, you know, Nancy Pelosi, by the time that she announced her retirement, had made over 17,000% in returns. There was actually a very viral graph that I had posted, and you can see that she's outperforming Warren Buffett. And then you have, on average, the average return for if a member of Congress is trading stock, okay, is 600%. That's outperforming the S&P. Most people go to jail for it, but if you're in the House of Representatives, you know, you might be required to pay a $200 fine, of which most members don't even pay that. And so the legislation that we're talking about putting on the floor would not allow for any more individual stock trading for members of Congress. If they come in with it, that's it. They can't do, from the moment they sign or they take their oath of office, they can no longer buy stocks. And then if they do sell, they're required to do a 1 week notice, but they can, again, not anymore buy those individual stocks. And if they do it, then there's a disgorgement of all profits. And so they will have to pay a penalty and then be forced to disgorge, which is incredibly important. So I look forward to, I think, talking about that legislation with you next week once it's drafted and finalized. But I think that we'll have the support of the president. I know that he's been pretty open and clear about this position on insider trading. And, you know, if it's at least one way that I can help reform the institution, I'm happy to have helped.
Yeah, no, well done. All right, let's go a little bit back. Let's go back a little bit and talk a little bit more about your history, where you're from. And I want to get to, at least at some point, like the decision to actually run for Congress. But my guess is maybe when you were growing up, you didn't necessarily say, hey, my goal is to go to Congress. So go back and kind of walk us through, I was born in, and then go from there.
Yeah, of course. So I was actually born in Orange, California. My parents were never married. My father, rest his soul, he did, up until really the time that I was pretty much an adult, have a pretty serious addiction. And as a result of that, you know, he definitely struggled. He was in and out of jail. My mom was, for the most part, a single mom. And so by the time I had graduated from high school, I had actually gone to over six high schools. And so it's actually a miracle that I even graduated, to be honest with you. Wow. I had this dream of going to medical school, and I had zero way of paying for it. And I ended up enlisting in the United States Air Force, of which I always tell people that that in itself can be one of the biggest game-changing decisions any one young person can make. And I highly encourage it, because for me, the military not only provided me with the structure that I needed desperately to excel, but then also too, it taught me a lot of basics that, like, I didn't even know about. For example, how to balance a checkbook, you know, financial resources, all of that, because that was part of the first term airman course when you join the military, right? It was called FTAC at the time. And so I was able to work as an airfield manager. It's where I met my husband, literally within a year of joining. And I've actually now been married for over 15 years. So it ended up working out for us. But in,
let's go back a little bit. That's a great story. And it is amazing that, right, that you can go all the way through high school, albeit six high schools, and not have the basic financial literacy. I really do believe that our education system, they don't teach you, like, the basics of how to live. Like, how to do a checking account, how to, like, understanding taxes, like, you know.
In Florida, they actually changed the law to where they're required to teach some of that now for public education. But you are correct. I think that what a big problem within our education system as a whole is these are common sense things that people should be learning, because sometimes their parents might not be able to teach it to them, but they don't teach them that. In fact, for a long time, it seemed to be focusing on a lot of DEI, super woke stuff, instead of the very basics of being able to excel and succeed as an adult. And so I tell my story because I think that people that come from my background, there tends to be this kind of stereotype and ideology on how we're supposed to vote or to think or to lean politically. And I'm sure we'll get to this, but I found that out very quickly shortly after I was elected because of what the Washington Post tried to do in regards to my background and bio and everything. But all that to say that, you know, joining the military was a great experience. But to your question initially, no, I never anticipated that I would be running for office. I actually decided to run for office because at the time I graduated from University of West Florida with my STEM degree in biology. I had taken the MCAT twice and actually was in full preparation of attending medical school. And during my gap year, I started volunteering as a counter trafficking activist. And then that's kind of when I got political. And so had it not been for kind of that journey, I don't think I'd be here today. Charlie Kirk recruited me out of going to medical school and joining Turning Point.
Wow.
More Jason in the House next.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Oh, hello, it's me, the calculator that lives inside of TaxSlayer. I love numbers, like 100, as in 100%, as in TaxSlayer's 100% accuracy, guaranteed, and zero, as in $0, as in it costs $0 to file and get the refund you deserve with TaxSlayer Simply Free, if you qualify. Simply Free is available to a limited number of taxpayers with age, income, credit, and deduction restrictions. See TaxSlayer.com for eligibility requirements. TaxSlayer, file fearlessly.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A rescue dog named Eeyore from Florida who helped locate a missing grandma makes today's Dean's List. A distraught man called the sheriff's office because his wife had not come home. She was out walking their grand dog that belonged to their son. Deputy Devin Mahler arrived on the scene to help with the search. She got a description of the woman and Eeyore and went out to look. All of a sudden, Eeyore showed up and walked toward Devin's patrol car. She asked the dog where her mama was, and Eeyore understood the question. He led her across the yard, past a house, and onto a golf course where the woman was lying on the ground having a medical emergency. Deputy Miller says Eeyore guided her there the whole way, and the elderly woman says the dog wouldn't leave her side and kept coming back, knowing he had to get help. Thankfully, Eeyore's grandma is on the mend, while Eeyore is now a celebrity in the community. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Fox on set. Parents can now set a short time for short videos. There are changes at YouTube aimed at giving parents a better handle over what their kids watch, and that includes setting time limits for things like YouTube Shorts, the short-running and auto-scrolling videos that compete with TikToks.
Well, we talked to parents, and we heard, you know, three things. Parents want more control, they want the high-quality content, and they want the sign-up process to be easier. And so that's what we really did.
Dr. Garth Graham is head of YouTube's Global Health, YouTube only grants accounts to the regular service to people 13 years old or older. Under 13 gets a YouTube Kids account. The changes now coming will make it simpler for parents to set up a supervised teen account in which they can better program restrictions on what their teens can watch. As for YouTube Shorts, parents can limit the time to zero to stop all the scrolling. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
You get through high school, you join the military, but you started to explain this relationship with Charlie Kirk and how that kind of helped change your trajectory. What happened there?
So I started out during my gap year. So when, and anyone that's applying to most graduate schools or even med school will tell you that you have to put together your application, right? Like what sets you apart from these other candidates? And so I started doing two things. One, I started volunteering as a research assistant at Health and Science University. And then also two, I was volunteering as a counter-trafficking activist. And so I started working with two separate groups actually. And as I started kind of looking into this, they specifically were dealing with counter-trafficking regarding children at the U.S.-Mexico border. And this is kind of segueing into, you know, candidate Trump running the first time, and then it carries into, you know, him getting elected, and then ultimately into 2020. Well, in 2018, I graduated, I was ready to go, and I actually had used my social media at the time. Instagram was just starting out to kind of talk about these issues, and I was getting such pushback, even from my own community, of people saying that, you know, I was whitewashed and all this stuff. And I realized that those people were only reacting like that because they didn't truly understand the politics and how there was this propaganda aspect, specifically on immigration, targeting Hispanic Americans. Well, what I didn't know is that Charlie and Turning Point US at the time were actually looking at my profile. And out of the blue, they invite me to attend the Young Women's Leadership Summit in around like the early summer period of 2018. And at that point in time, they started scouting me. And I kid you not, Jason, I will never forget the phone call or the conversation. The day before I was supposed to leave to medical school, Charlie Kirk calls me and basically says, "Hi, my name's Charlie Kirk. I wanted to see if you would like to take the position of the National Hispanic Outreach Director with Turning Point USA. You'll be traveling alongside myself and Candace Owens. We'd like to offer you this position. You're pretty much one of the only people in the country right now that's doing what you're doing specifically. And, you know, your background, it's a very important thing. You can really help us." And so I said, "Look, Charlie, I have been working for what I thought my whole life towards this one goal of medical school, and it's a big decision." And so I ultimately had 24 hours to decide. And one of my mentors at the time said, "You know, if you can get involved politically and influence the discussion nationally, you can do some incredible things as a physician, but you can always go back to that. You can't always take this opportunity for politics. And if you do get in, and you are able to influence in the way that I think you'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to probably save more lives than you would have ever your entire lifetime as a physician. And like either which way, I support you in your decision, but you know, either which way, I think, you know, the right door will open and the wrong one will close." And so I really then at that point said, "All right, I think this is kind of like a sign, if you will." And I went for it. And that one year that I worked with Turning Point, you know, I'd go to college campuses. I did the debates. You know, you see how Charlie would do those campus flash tours at the beginning. I was on those with him. And I think that was kind of my first, I guess, like going right into the fire in regards to political boot camp, basically. And then shortly thereafter, I realized, you know, because I was doing the media thing, I was like, you know, I keep seeing that media is talking about what's happening on the Hill. So I think if I want to actually get a megaphone, I have to go to the Hill to do it. Now I'm kind of learning, and in my opinion has changed because I realize how important media does coincide with Congress, but then also too how equally important it is. If you do have a megaphone like yours, for example, where you have been in, you can also shape it that way. But I did figure, I was like, you know, I'm just going to give Congress a try. I have no idea how to run for office. I don't have anyone in my immediate family that's like ever done this, and this is kind of crazy. And so I kind of just figured it out.
You were pretty young, right? Like you're pretty young. Like how old were you?
So when I first announced that I was going to run, this was in 20, 20. And so I just turned like 31, I think. By the time I had actually gotten elected, I was 33. So in 2022, I won. And then 2024, I won. And then now I'm up for my third election. So I'm 36. I'm about to be 37 years old.
Well, I mean, it's great, you know, to have young people in their young 30s. That's awesome.
And, yeah.
But you, wasn't that Charlie Crist's congressional district?
Yeah. So when I first ran, I actually ran, it was a D+2, which means it was a Democrat leaning district. And everyone's like, oh, that's actually not a winnable seat. You know, you're going to lose this by 15 points. And I actually ended up losing by 5, and I had no money or support from the party. And I think a lot of people are like,
surprise.
Wow. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, they're like, you actually, like, if you had, would have even had, you know, 500,000, you probably could have put a one against them. That's just because the numbers were surging. And then we redistricted. I had the name ID. We didn't know what the district looked like. I kind of spitballed where I thought they were going to place the district. And then I won by, you know, 10 points in my primary. And then in my general election, the first year I was elected, I was outspent $12 million to one. There was this Democrat that was, and that did not feel good. That was a lot of money. But I won. I had knocked, you know, 20,000+ doors. And then in my third election, this past one, second, we actually won it, but third election in total, I actually, in total crossed 60,000 doors, knocked threshold, and I think it's close to 100,000 phone calls made, and they actually had a candidate up against me, and they're playing pretty dirty, but we won it again by 10 points. And so I'm a hard worker, and I've been able to keep the seat.
You come with energy, with enthusiasm, you come with new creative, fresh ideas, and that's contagious. And I think voters sniff that out. And if you're knocking that many doors and making those phone calls, it's hard. You know, the other thing I attribute winning to is I was willing to do what most people weren't willing to do. You know, I had a huge district. You know, it's like 7, almost 8 hours one way to get all the way across my district. And most people weren't willing to get up in the freezing cold and, to go to a 7 a.m. meeting. And I was, and they weren't.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, it takes candidates that I think are, for all argument's sakes, you know, good, just average Americans that understand what the position entails, and it's public service. It's really nothing more than that. It's not about, you know, the fancy dinners. It's not about, you know, a lot of the perks that exist in Washington that they try to frame it as. And I think if you're willing to do that, people do understand when they're talking with a genuine person that genuinely cares about it. And so for me, at least, you know, it was definitely, I think, a shock that they were able to, you know, spend what they did against me, and I still was able to win, but ultimately it resulted in a big win for us.
Real quickly, pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
I actually do like pineapple on pizza, so.
The judges do not like that answer, but we will work with you on that one.
Thank you.
We will work with you on that one. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Really, truly do appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. Appreciate Congresswoman Luna joining us. You've seen her, you've heard her. Now you know a little bit more about her. So, appreciate her coming on. Hoping you can rate this podcast. I would appreciate that. You can also subscribe to the podcast. Shows up once a week. That'd be great. You can subscribe and, it'll just show up once a week. You also want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Thanks again for joining us. A lot happening in the world. I hope you're having a great new year. It's hard to believe we're already this far into January. Oh, my goodness, the midterms will be here before you know it. And then 2028, the presidential election will be here before we know it. So stay with us. We'll have a lot of great, interesting guests and all types of sports and entertainment, certainly politics. So thanks for joining us. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-smoker can get $1 billion of coverage for $75 per month level rate for 10 years, or a man age 50 non-smoker can obtain $500,000 coverage for a month premium of $110 level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for a new or replacement term life insurance, call Termbusters today for a quote at 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Rate and availability may vary by state. Sample quotes based on preferred non-smoker. Underwriting and exam required. Call 1-800-908-7636 for details. Paid for by Robert Levenger Insurance.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis, to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1450.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has criticized President Trump for supporting Iranian protesters. This despite the fact that Mr. Trump had recently praised Iran for canceling planned executions, signaling a possible shift away from threatened military action. Senator Tom Cotton is warning Iranian leaders to take the president seriously.
Well, he's made clear that he means what he says, and he says what he means. And he told Maduro, for instance, that he needed to go into exile, and Maduro was stubborn and pig-headed and dug in his heels, and now he's sitting in a jail in New York City. And he told the Ayatollahs to turn over all their nuclear program, and they didn't, and the nuclear program is now in smoldering ruins.
He was a guest on the Salem Radio Network. A third round of retaliatory strikes by the U.S. and Syria has resulted in the death of Al-Qaeda-affiliated leader.
Bilal Hassan al-Jassim had a direct tie to the ISIS member responsible for last month's ambush that killed two U.S. soldiers and a U.S. civilian interpreter in Syria. So say U.S. Central Command officials. This marks the latest strike as part of a broader U.S. operation by President Trump. Mr. Trump is targeting ISIS thugs trying to regroup after the ouster of autocratic leader Bashar al-Assad a year ago.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. Elsewhere, the Syrian government has today announced a ceasefire, with the Syrian Democratic Forces taking almost full control of the country. The move dismantles the Kurdish-led forces that controlled the northeast for over a decade. Tensions between the government and the SDF boiled over earlier this month, leading to a big government push to the east. Britain's main opposition leader joined a protest yesterday against China's planned new embassy in London. The government faces a Tuesday deadline to approve or block the project. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Chuck McDowell here with Wesley Financial Group. My 78-year-old friend Linda called me yesterday. She bought a $40,000 timeshare in Nashville. She was told it was a great investment and that he would personally book all her vacations. All lies. She called our sales rep, Chris, the next morning at 4:57 a.m. to cancel, and she was told it was too late. You had your chance yesterday. Another lie. She has 10 days in Tennessee. I am in a war with the timeshare industry because people keep buying their lies, and they don't want me to help you. If you need a timeshare, I'm sure one of the 3,500 people that call my office weekly would love to give you one of theirs. Or go online and pay a dollar for it. But stop paying $40,000 for lies. It's time to stop the insanity. Don't wait another day.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-364-7711. That's 800-364-7711. 800-364-7711.
The Associated Press has learned that Delcy Rodriguez, Venezuela's acting president, has been on the radar of the DEA for years, and in 2022 was even labeled a priority target. That's a designation the DEA reserves for suspects believed to have a, quote, significant impact on the drug trade. That's according to records obtained by the AP and more than a half dozen current and former U.S. law enforcement officers. The Supreme Court will hear an appeal from Bayer to block thousands of state lawsuits alleging it failed to warn people that its popular Roundup weed killer can cause cancer. The justices say they'll consider whether the Environmental Protection Agency's approval of Roundup without a cancer warning should rule out any state court claims. The justices will hear a case from Missouri where a man developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma after spraying Roundup on a community garden repeatedly over years. News and analysis at townhall.com. He may not be at spring training, but a Dodgers ace will be on the mound for a last hurrah playing for Team USA.
Clayton Kershaw is not done pitching just yet. He has agreed to join the U.S. team for this year's World Baseball Classic. The left-handed Kershaw announced last September that he was retiring at the end of last season. He had a stellar career with the Los Angeles Dodgers. The three-time NL Cy Young Award winner wanted to pitch for the Americans in the 2023 tournament, but was prevented because of insurance issues. The U.S., which lost the 2023 title game to Japan, opens March 6th. Versus Brazil at Houston. I'm Geffen Coolball.
Today is Sunday, January the 18th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Kevin Costner. He is 71 years old. Hockey Hall of Famer Mark Messier turns 65. Former pro wrestler and actor Dave Bautista is 57. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
Anti-government protests in Iran continue to escalate, spurred by nationwide unrest and high inflation. However, it looks like this could be about regime change eventually. President Trump has warned of military intervention if the death toll continues to rise, to which the Iranian government responded with threats of strikes on the U.S. and Israeli targets in the region. Back at home, the Department of Justice has launched a criminal investigation into Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, citing an abuse of taxpayer dollars pertaining to renovations at the Federal Reserve headquarters. However, Powell argues the investigation was sparked for a different reason, responding in a video released last Sunday.
The threat of criminal charges is a consequence of the Federal Reserve setting interest rates based on our best assessment of what will serve the public, rather than following the preferences of the president. This is about whether the Fed will be able to continue to set interest rates based on evidence and economic conditions, or whether instead monetary policy will be directed by political pressure or intimidation.
President Trump has denied any involvement in the investigation. Meanwhile, the Trump administration announced plans to deploy roughly hundreds more immigration officers to Minnesota less than a week after a Minnesota woman was fatally shot during an altercation with an ICE agent. Lots to discuss this week. Let's bring in our panel. Director of Domestic Policy Studies and Neal Chair at the American Enterprise Institute, Matt Continetti. Democratic campaign strategist Kevin Walling and Fox News Audio Washington-based correspondent Jared Halpern. Jared, first of all, the Iran situation. The president continues to support the Iranian protesters on Truth Social, saying essentially, hang in there, help is on the way, previously saying that we, the U.S., were locked and loaded if protesters were dying. There are now accounts of thousands and thousands of protesters dying at the hands of the Iranian regime, and it seems we may be closer to action.
And it seems like the Iranian regime is also bringing some pretty dire warnings of their own to the table about the fate of some of these protests. I think the big question is, what is the president envisioning here with Iran? He has already imposed these 25% tariffs on trading partners with Iran. That is another form of economic pressure to put on the regime. He has talked about having an array of options on the table, including military intervention. But that, of course, would come with an awful lot of risk. One, to your point, it would make U.S. Bases in the region at risk. It could potentially put Israel and their targets at risk. And it raises questions about regime change to what? What is the next step if, in fact, this protest is different than some of the previous uprisings we've seen in Iran and does topple this government, or at least elements of this government? What does that look like? And does that become a government that is an ally of the United States?
Yeah, Matthew, I think there is this sense that this is a different time, that this is maybe a hinge point.
Absolutely. You know, these revolts have been periodic for decades, Brett, but this is different for a few reasons. The first is the revolt in Iran began in the marketplace, not in the universities. Typically in the past, it was young students who were leading riots and protests against the mullahs who rule Iran. In this case, this revolution started in the marketplace, in the bazaar, with individuals who had just been shocked and made immiserated by the economic failures of the regime. So that's one difference. The second is the protest has now spread throughout the country, including rural areas that are normally thought of as strongholds of the Ayatollah Khamenei. And the third difference is President Trump. You know, in the past, most significantly in the Green Revolution of 2009, America just stood by while the regime suppressed the protesters. President Trump, coming off that victory in Operation Absolute Resolve, where we captured and arrested Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela, he made it very clear that he was going to stand on the side of the protesters, and he drew a red line. He said if the Iranian government kills the protesters, America would act. Well, the numbers are high. We don't know the exact figure, but we know that the Iranians have killed protesters, and I think that's why President Trump is about to act.
Kevin, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely with Jared and Matthew in terms of their historical context. The fact that you're seeing these massive protests in the street, and of course, you know, the regime has blocked out most internet access, so what we get is a kind of a grainy picture. But the fact that you're seeing activity across all 31 provinces is different than we've seen in these previous periodic uprisings, similar to the one that we saw in 22 in the wake of the young woman who was killed by the morality police on the ground. So obviously, the administration is weighing its options. There was a meeting at the White House with senior national security advisors, and they've given every indication that all elements and all tactics are on the table, Brett.
The other issue here is what it means and what Israel does, Jared. They're concerned about Iran and the regime and ballistic missiles and restaging its nuclear program. It seems like the regime has its hands full with these protests. And the question is, you know, what it looks like if there was a military move and what the transition would be out of this regime that's been in power since 1979.
That's a great question, and it's got to be one of the considerations being made in that situation room with these national security advisors, because this would be an operation presumably different than Midnight Hammer, which was a specific target of these ballistic missile and nuclear weapons facilities. The idea was not to uproot the government, was not regime change. If the outcome of U.S. military action in the wake of these protests is regime change, then you have to have a plan for what comes next, especially in the context of the broader Middle East. Well, one thing that, Arab partners are going to be concerned about, as much as they dislike the current Iranian government, is instability in the region. And does this create a security vacuum, a law enforcement vacuum, a terror vacuum that could kind of take root, given the instability that a regime change in Iran could present.
Meantime, back here at home, you've got this criminal investigation into the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, citing his testimony about renovations on the Federal Reserve building up on Capitol Hill. Essentially, the pushback was pretty harsh from Powell, saying, one, he's always been honest, and two, this is more about pressuring him on interest rates than it is about anything criminal, Matthew. The other thing worth noting is that there was talk about this being about taxpayer dollars. The Federal Reserve doesn't take taxpayer dollars. It deals in an independent way outside of the congressional budget process.
Right. And if you're going to indict someone for cost overruns, then I think most of Washington would be sitting in jail right about now, the way that this city spends money. But look, this was story came out of the blue while most of us were watching NFL playoffs over the weekend with Chairman Powell's novel video, 2-minute video, saying that he had been subpoenaed for these records. I thought it was really inventive on his part. He took the fight back to the Trump administration in a way that I don't think anyone was expecting. It put the administration on its back heels, Brett. And then on top of that, within 24 hours, you had Republicans in the House and in the Senate saying that this was a bad idea, not only criticizing the idea of a criminal investigation of the chairman of the Federal Reserve, but in the case of Tom Tillis, who's retiring, the senator from North Carolina, a Republican, he said that he's not going to vote for any Trump nominees to the Fed until this matter is resolved.
It does seem like it's a bit of a backfire here, Jared.
And I think to Matthew's point, it makes it harder to confirm these nominees that President Trump is close to naming, not just because you have Tom Tillis saying that he'll hold these nominees up, but even if this, gets moved past and the Justice Department closes the investigation, it's going to continue to raise questions of these nominees about their independence. And one thing that Republicans and Democrats have seemed to agree on through all of this is the independence of the Federal Reserve, of the central bank. And so expect now these hearings to take on renewed interest, renewed importance, as senators want to make sure that whoever is nominated, not just to succeed Powell, but for these other openings that are happening on the Federal Reserve, that they'll also not be intimidated by President Trump or not be intimidated by members of the administration as they try and set these monetary policies.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. Never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime.
Our entry-level data plans start at just $20 a month. And for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with host Johnny Knoxville, who I joined on set in Vancouver for Fox's reboot series, Fear Factor, House of Fear.
I want to start with you hosting this show because it's so perfect.
It does work because, you know, my previous day job.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came into this, I thought maybe I'm going to be agitating the contestants more to rile them up, but I found myself trying to support them more.
The Face Your Fears reboot has 14 contestants competing for $200,000 and living in one house.
A lot of people are carrying things over that happened in the house into the challenges.
What do you tell the contestants? How do you coach them in terms of overcoming their fears? How do you help them?
It's like when I started coaching my son's baseball team when they're little. They didn't even know how to throw. And at that point, I did not know how to tell them how to throw because it's just something I did. It wasn't great advice. I'm like, just do it.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Budgeting can often be nerve-wracking, but it doesn't have to be with Help on the Way through budgeting apps. There are many to choose from depending on your lifestyle, and the good thing is not all will cost you. There are several things to consider when you're looking for a good budgeting app, like flexibility to customize your budget based on various factors like income and account syncing. You may prefer to track transactions manually, or maybe you want real-time tracking. User experience. Are you okay with ads or credit card offers or categories that can't be personalized? And cost. Some budget apps are free, while others you might have to pay for extra features. Some budgeting apps include Rocket Money, which is free, but you'll have to pay each month for premium features. And Mint, which is an all-in-one app allowing you to connect your bank accounts, watch your income, and track your spending. Or the Simplify app. However, it will cost you, but there's a 30-day free trial. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Most experts and pundits thought President Harry Truman would be soundly defeated by Thomas Dewey. On November 2nd, 1948, Truman had the last laugh.
And Mr. Kelton Barnes and Mr. Harkness were reporting the situation as it then developed. And Mr. Kelton Barnes was saying, well, the president is a million votes ahead in the popular vote.
To hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor, Bret Baier.
We need Greenland for national security, so we're going to see what happens. If we don't go in, Russia's going to go in and China's going to go in. And there's not a thing that Denmark can do about it, but we can do everything about it.
The president has made his view clear, and we have a different position. We therefore still have a fundamental disagreement, but we also agree to disagree. And therefore we will, however, continue to talk.
President Trump and the Danish foreign minister on the U.S. effort to take over Greenland. The Danish foreign minister, Lars Løkke Rasmussen, joins me here live in studio. Mr. Foreign Minister, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me, Brett.
I want to get first, before we get into specifics, your take on that meeting with Vice President Vance and Secretary Rubio.
My take is that it was a brilliant opportunity for us to share our view with our American friends. I mean, we are close allies. We have had diplomatic relations. You will not find an ally to U.S. who have had uninterrupted diplomatic relationships as long as we have, for 225 years in a row. And to some extent, not to some extent, we share, you know, the challenges linked to the situation in the Arctic. We didn't agree that it can only be achieved if U.S. conquer, Greenland. So it was a great opportunity to take this, I wouldn't call it a dialogue, this discussions, which have been in social media and the press for 13 months, into a
kind of a formal environment. Get
into
to the
a
next
more formal environment where we could make our points.
But let's just quickly, for the people who don't fully understand what this conversation is about, as we put up the map of Greenland, Denmark and Greenland, your relationship, you spend money there, the people there get funds from Denmark every year. Explain it to folks, what Denmark's relationship to Greenland.
We are the Kingdom of Denmark. We consist of Denmark, the Faroe Islands, and Greenland. And we have a long-lasting relationship for hundreds of years. 17,000 Greenlandic people are living in Denmark. It's one-third of the total population in Greenland. More than 1 out of 10 people in Greenland are Danes. So we are totally integrated. We share a history. And last night, the Premier in Greenland made it crystal clear that even though, you know, in a very long-term perspective, and I think that goes for all people across the world that want some kind of independence, right now and for a foreseeable future, they want to be a part of the Kingdom of Denmark.
So here's the president's, the Truth Social he put out, NATO, tell Denmark to get them out of here. He's talking about China and Russia. Now, two dog sleds won't do it. Only the USA can. Danish intel warned last year that Russian and Chinese military goals toward Greenland and the Arctic. Then the White House put out this picture that kind of depicted that, these two dog sleds choosing between either Russia, China, or the USA. There is a concern about Russia and China in that area, right?
Yeah, and we share that concern. I mean, but we also need to have a facts-based dialogue, and you know, and due to at least Danish intelligence, and I don't think your intelligence have a different view on that, we haven't seen a Chinese warship in Greenland for a decade or so. There's absolutely no Chinese investments in Greenland. When I served as Prime Minister, I served Prime Minister twice, we avoided any kind of Chinese investments in infrastructure. You know, 10 years ago, the Road and Belt Initiative, what you have seen in Africa, we avoided all that. We now build new international airports in Greenland. They are funded by Danish money. We had an abandoned American military installation years ago. There was a global tender. I personally intervened in this in order to avoid, you know, any Chinese footprint. So there's absolutely no Chinese footprint in Greenland.
But they aspire.
Having said that,
we can say they aspire. Russia and China aspire.
And having said that, I fully share, you know, I know you're president very well. I have met him on several occasions. I was among the first European leaders to meet him in his first term. And there's always, you know, a bit of truth in what he's saying. And I definitely, and we definitely share the concern that Arctic is not any longer a low-tension region. And, of course, we have to be aware of that. And that's why we have invested almost $15 billion last year in capabilities in Greenland.
The fear, do you believe that the U.S. is going to take over Greenland, either by buying it, in other words, incentivizing each of the Greenlandian population, which is a population of about 56, 57,000, if they get more money than you're giving them every year, to then have an independence vote, to be independent of you, could it be possible that the U.S. is going to try to do that?
It's probably possible that U.S. could try to do it. It's not possible that Greenland will buy into all this. I mean, according to the latest poll in Greenland, only 6% of the Greenlandic population wants to become American.
So I'm just doing the math here. 56,000, they get $500,000 a person? I mean, you don't think they're going to vote to break away?
No, not at all. Because I think there's no way that U.S. will pay for a Scandinavian welfare system in Greenland, honestly speaking. You haven't introduced a Scandinavian welfare system.
But you also don't believe the U.S. is going to invade Greenland, do you?
No, at least I do not hope so, because, I mean, that will be the end of NATO. But I want to have a more positive approach to all this. And I think it's important for me to say that we share the concerns. I mean, that's why we are investing heavily. You know, we haven't received any military request from U.S. About stepping up in Greenland for the last 20 years, you know. And we have this framework from 51. We have a defense agreement. We all belong to NATO. And we think that our way forward should be that we, you know, combine forces. So we share the concerns to some extent, but not the methods, if I could put it that way.
So on the military side, yeah. On the military side, on the critical raw materials side, you're willing to open to U.S. companies. I understand. So you're saying you're starting this formal conversation, and you hope it lands in something that you can negotiate.
Yeah, that's the outcome of today's meeting. I mean, it's not that I have a position that now the problem is solved. It stands crystal clear for me that the ambition, the president's ambition is on the table. Of course, we have our red lights. I mean, this is 2026. You trade with people, but you don't trade people. And there's a third way forward. And that's what we agreed today, that we will now set up this high-level working group to explore whether there's a way forward where we can accommodate, which I totally agree, you know, the president's concern and still respect, of course, the territorial integrity of the Kingdom of Denmark and the Greenlandic people's right to self-determination.
Mr. Foreign Minister, we really appreciate you coming in here, and we look forward to following up when you get to that next step.
Thank you for having me, Brett.
Thank you.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1987.
Jim and Tammy Baker.
We can say we've learned a good lesson. I hate that it took this many years to learn it. I'm getting a little old for starting over again.
I refuse to submit my family and my friends and innocent people and myself to further rumors and gossip. I believe I would have been a successful candidate, and I know I could have been a very good president, but apparently now we'll never know.
I realize there's a lot of folks around that think there's a loose cannon on the Gundeck estate at the NSC. People used to walk up to me and tell me what a great job I was doing.
In Robert Bork's America, there is no room at the inn for blacks. And no place in the Constitution for women. And in our America, there should be no seat on the Supreme Court for Robert Bork.
He's crying and humming and sometimes singing. She goes to sleep at periods of time.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom. The ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Su, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Fox News Books has boasted a host of bestsellers. Now, Fox News Books enters the world of podcasting. This season, the Fox News Books podcast presents The Miracles Among Us. For its first season, Fox News Books will present this special podcast brought to you by the author, Fox News Senior Medical Analyst, Dr. Mark Siegel. The Miracles Among Us on the Fox News Books podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
In 1961, television, thought to be pandering to the lowest common denominator for the sake of ad revenue, was coming under increased attack from all sides, most notably FCC Chairman Newton Minow in May of 1961.
When television is good, nothing, not the theater, not the magazines or newspapers, nothing is better. But when television is bad, nothing is worse. I invite each of you to sit down in front of your own television set when your station goes on the air and stay there for a day without a book, without a magazine, without a newspaper, without a profit and loss sheet or a rating book to distract you. Keep your eyes glued to that set until the station signs off. I can assure you that what you will observe is a vast wasteland.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Superstar Taylor Swift makes the Dean's List for helping a young girl in Florida battling brain cancer. 2-year-old Lila has been fighting stage 4 cancer. Her mom, Caitlin, posted a video of her daughter in the hospital watching a video of Taylor Swift, and you can hear Lila say, "My friend." Miss Swift somehow saw the sweet clip and responded by donating $100,000 to a GoFundMe for Lila and left the comment, "Sending the biggest hug to my friend Lila. Love, Taylor." Caitlin was overwhelmed with gratitude and was in shock after she read the message and saw the donation. She wrote, quote, "I cannot thank you enough. I'm truly in shock. This means we don't have to worry about anything other than Lila. Truly such a blessing. Thank you, Taylor Swift." Janice Dean, Fox News.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor, Bret Baier.
President Trump says he has been informed that plans for executions of protesters inside Iran have stopped. President did not elaborate, but added he was told killings have ended before those remarks. Tehran had indicated it will fast-track trials and executions of detained demonstrators. Reports on death tolls are wide-ranging, but all estimate the number to be in the thousands, some more than 12,000. President Trump previously warned U.S. military intervention may be needed to stop the bloodshed. I will discuss all of this with the Iranian Foreign Minister, Abbas Araghchi. Mr. Foreign Minister, thank you for the time. I'd like to start about the situation on the ground. There are reports, sir, that anywhere from 2,500 to more than 12,000 protesters in various cities have been killed by the regime. How many people have been killed?
Well, thank you both for having me. Demonstrations started on 28 December, yes, for the economic shortcomings, and for 10 days it was peaceful, and the government engaged with the protesters and their leaders and tried to solve their problems. Yes, for 10 days it was peaceful, legal demonstrations and protests for economic shortcomings. But after that 10 days, for 3 days we had a completely different story. A terrorist operation, when terrorist elements led from outside, entered this protests and started to shoot police forces, police officers, and security forces. And the terrorist cells, they came in, they used Daesh-style terrorist operations. They got police officers, burned them alive, they beheaded them, and they started shooting at police officers and also to the people. So as a result, for 3 days, we had, in fact, fighting against the terrorists and not, you know, with the protesters. It was completely a different story. The reason I have to explain, and this is important, why they started to shoot at people, for one reason, they wanted to increase the number of deaths. Why? Because President Trump has said that if there are killings, he would intervene. And they wanted to drag him into this conflict. And that was exactly an Israeli plot. They wanted to drag the President of the United States in this conflict. So they started to increase the number of deaths by killing ordinary people, by killing police officers, by starting a kind of, fighting inside the different cities.
Mr. Foreign Minister, you're saying that these killings, these deaths are at the hands of foreign elements inside your country, not by the Iranian regime. That's not what we're being told when we get people to talk to us on the ground. The internet has been shut off, but occasionally turns back on, and we do hear from people on the ground who tell us various stories. Witnesses spoke of seeing snipers positioned on rooftops in downtown Tehran, firing into crowds of peaceful protests, turning abruptly into scenes of carnage, panic as bullets pierced through people's heads and torsos, sending bodies toppling to the ground, and an emergency room treating 19 gunshot patients in a single hour. The regime is on a killing spree, said one protester. And we've seen the video of body bags stacking up. You're saying that all of this is because you're not in control of your country and foreign elements are killing people inside your country?
No, I'm telling you that it was a fighting between our security forces and terrorist elements who had a plan to create a big number of killings in order to provoke President Trump to enter into this conflict and start a new war against Iran. And that was exactly an Israeli plot. The footages that you mentioned have not been seen in Iran. I have to tell you that a misinformation campaign is going on at the same time.
And you're suggesting that it's Israel and Mossad acting like Iranian forces, shooting the Iranian people to make casualties to spur on the action of President Trump. I'm just saying there's a lot of people that don't believe that, Mr. Foreign Minister.
No, Mossad has already confessed that.
They may be on the ground, sir, but as far as them killing hundreds and hundreds of people to make it look like you did, it does not appear in the video that we get out that this is a full level of calm. It appears that protests continue in a number of different cities. The exiled Iranian crown prince, talking to people on the ground, said this.
About 12,000 plus.
12,000 plus.
That's what we get so far. It might be more, but that's the minimum number that we know so far. I've been
killed by the regime. This is not arrested.
We are talking about using military weapons, AK-47s, armored trucks to shoot to kill unarmed protesters. Their bodies are being picked up by bulldozers, and they charge each family for the bullet to be able to just retrieve the remains. It's abhorrent what's happening.
You're denying that that's happening, or you're saying it's Israel and Mossad?
We are on the ground in Iran. Those claims are baseless. You know, there is no proof of that. The number of deaths, although they tried hard to increase the number of deaths, are only hundreds. The exact figure would be announced very soon, perhaps tonight, by our authorities.
So you're saying it's less than 1,000 people?
No, hundreds of people. I certainly deny the numbers and figures they have said. It is an exaggeration. It is a misinformation campaign only to find excuses to do another aggression against Iran. I can tell you that now it is 4 days that everything is calm. There is no demonstration. There is no unrest, nothing in Iran for the past 4 days. Yes, there has been millions of people today for funerals. And 2 days ago, a big rally in support of the government and of the system. So people are on the streets, but in support of the Islamic Republic.
Wow. So that's not what we hear when we hear people on the ground.
I can refer you to the tweets and, sayings and interviews, Israeli officials, American officials who claim themselves that Mossad agents are inside Iran, in the Iranian streets, in Tehran streets. Just look at the X accounts of Mossad in Persia. I can't sustain that their agents are in Iran and that they are doing their job.
Okay, I can't push back about where Mossad agents are or not. I can say if anybody is taunting President Trump, it is the Supreme Leader who took to X and posted this, saying for days now, calling President Trump a tyrant who will be overthrown. Why, if you're saying the Israeli outside forces inside your country are doing this, why would the Supreme Leader himself take to X and taunt the President of the United States?
We were in the middle of a war that started against us, and the rhetorics are quite normal in any war. We have many kind of threats by President Trump, by other American officials, by Europeans who are talking about Iranian, things in Iran. So we consider these 3 days, 8th January to 10th, which we face with a vast terrorism operation as the continuation of a 12-day war that's very imposed on us by Israelis and Americans. So the 13th day of war was 8th January. That was the continuation of the war. So we were in the middle of the war. And now, after 3 days of terrorist operation, now there is a calm. We are in full control. And let's hope that wisdom would prevail. And we don't go for a high level of tension, which could be disastrous.
Are you moving forward with hangings of some of the protesters, or at least one of the protesters?
No, I haven't heard about that. And there is no any hanging today or tomorrow or whatever. You know, I can tell you, I'm confident about that. There is no plan for hanging at all.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Ah, the most beautiful time of year is upon us, tax season. And Tax Slayer is here to help you file with 100% accuracy for your maximum refund. Guaranteed. Tax Slayer even has support from real U.S.-based humans if you have any questions along the way. File your federal return by February 8th for $22.99, and I'll help you get the refund you deserve. Take it from me, a talking calculator speaking to you through the speakers of wherever you are. Tax Slayer. File fearlessly.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-242-3186. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of 5-star reviews and an A+ on the Better Business Bureau, call Coast One Tax Group, 800-242-3186. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-242-3186.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
around the world.
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom. The ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron-Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox. Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Okay, well, you've heard the president's talk, President Trump, and you've heard his concern about crossing this red line, and you've heard him shut off communications with you because he's seen what he's seen and heard what he's heard on the ground. In fact, he was asked about this possible hanging and what the death he's seeing.
And if they hang him, you're going to see some things that I don't know what your where you come from and what your thought process is, but you'll perhaps be very happy.
What do you mean by that?
We will take very strong action. If they want to have protests, that's one thing. When they start killing thousands of people, and now you're telling me about hanging, we'll see how that works out for them. It's not going to work out good.
How do you read the president's comments over the past few days?
First of all, hanging is out of the question, as I said. This is another piece of misinformation campaign that they have started to provoke President Trump and to drag him into this this question, and which could have disastrous consequences. And on your first point that you mentioned, that he cut any communication with Iran, this is not the first time. You remember that we were negotiating in June when they decided to attack us. We were in the middle of negotiations. We had five rounds of negotiations between me and Steve Witkoff, and we had already fixed the sixth round for 15 June when they, in 2 days before that, they attacked us.
Because you came on this show and you said you were never going to reduce legitimate enrichment. You were never going to drop it down. You also talked about continuing a ballistic missile program. Is that continuing today? That's why the president said he was moving forward on the nuclear program that was expanding.
No, both enrichment and our defense capabilities are our legitimate rights. No, as a full and committed member of NPT, we have every right to do enrichment for peaceful purposes. And you cannot tell another country that you shouldn't exercise your rights, otherwise you would be attacked.
Yeah. But Mr. Foreign Minister, we talked about this months ago. Are you open to direct talks with the Trump administration to try to find a solution that could de-escalate heightened regional tension after all that's happened?
Iran is still insisting on its peaceful nuclear program, including enrichment. But our position has not changed. We are still, you know, committed not to go for nuclear weapons, but we are not ready to give up our legitimate right for peaceful use of nuclear technology, including enrichment.
Legitimate peaceful purposes for a nuclear program usually are not buried a mile down deep. And that is where the concern was.
President Trump proved to be against diplomacy when he attacked us in June, and when now he decided to cut any communication. So if there is any real interest to engage into promote understanding and to understand what's going on really on the ground, he has to pay attention to the realities and not to the misinformation provided to him by those who want to drag him into another war.
Again, I go back to the Supreme Leader, who does not sound like he's anxious to sit down and talk with President Trump as a country, as he's taunting him, calling him a tyrant who will be overthrown. How do you do that and think that President Trump is going to take that as, I should get to the table?
No, come on. We have engaged into negotiation with the U.S. several times with the permission of the Supreme Leader. Why should you say that? Let me tell you.
Unless you're telling me that the Ayatollah is not posting this.
Please wait. You know, we negotiated with the United States several times, and all of them turned into a very negative experience. In 2015, we negotiated for 2.5 years. We concluded a deal, and the United States decided to withdraw with no reason and with no justification. So why we should engage into negotiation with the United States, which means, in fact, you know, when United States talk about negotiation, it means they want dictation and not negotiation. So we have no good experience. This is a fact. Please understand.
Mr. Foreign Minister, on all of those points, the U.S. would say they came away from those talks saying that you were not pledging to do what you said you would do, and that every time they walked away from the table, they believed you were throwing it out the window as far as enrichment and solutions for that, as far as ballistic missiles, solutions for that, and as far as your role in funding terrorists around the region. Now, I don't want to belabor this point, but the Supreme Leader posted, Mr. Foreign Minister, on X numerous times about a taunting for President Trump. He's 86 years old. We have not heard from him. Is the Supreme Leader doing well in Iran? Will we hear from the Supreme Leader in this case?
He's doing well, and he is, in full control of the country, and people are supporting him. As everybody saw today in the funeral of those who were killed by terrorists, and 2 days ago in the rally of Tehran and other cities.
Mr. Foreign Minister, by all accounts, on the outside and on the inside, when we can get it, the Iranian economy is in a free fall. That is what started a lot of these protests, despite you saying that this was started from the outside and from Israel and Mossad. Our reporting is that it was started by frustrated people with the economic situation and frustrated for years of oppression from the regime.
For 10 days, it was peaceful, and it was tolerated by the government. But after that, we had 3 days of terrorism operation.
You said that. But now you're saying it's entirely peaceful.
Now, there is no demonstration. There is no protest. It is for 4 days that everything is, calm.
Okay, so what do you tell, if you have a message, for President Trump, who obviously is and has talked about and is considering some kind of action to help the protesters on the ground. If you have a message for him, what is the message?
My message is, do not repeat the same mistake that you did in June. You know, if you try a failed experience, you will get the same result. You know, in June, you destroyed the facilities, the machines, but the technology cannot be bombed. And the determination also cannot be bound. Now, Iran proves to be ready for negotiation, for diplomacy. We have proved that in the past 20 years, in 2015, in 2025, every time. But it was the U.S. who always escaped from diplomacy, who cut the diplomacy and opted for war. My message is, between war and diplomacy, diplomacy is a better way, although we don't have any positive experience from the United States, but it's still diplomacy is much better than war.
And will the Ayatollah, will we hear from him, besides the tweets taunting the president?
Well, I think I have already answered that.
Okay. Mr. Foreign Minister, we appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-smoker can get $1 billion of coverage for $75 per month level rate for 10 years, or a man age 50 non-smoker can obtain $500,000 coverage for a month premium of $110 level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for a new or replacement term life insurance, call Termbusters today for a quote at 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Rate and availability may vary by state. Sample quotes based on preferred non-smoker. Underwriting and exam required. Call 1-800-908-7636 for details. Paid for by Robert Levenger Insurance.
Introducing Jackpot Blitz, the industry's most advanced digital poker table designed for players who crave the energy of live play. Seamlessly jump into live multi-table tournaments and make your moves with just a tap. No dealers, no delays, just pure poker. Hands are dealt instantly and side pots handled automatically. The pace, whoa, blazing fast. This isn't just the future of poker, it's happening now. Play smarter, play faster, play Jackpot Blitz. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.